This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas. We're always encouraged to know that God is using the Ark to bless people's lives. If you have a story to share about how God's working in your life, submit your story by visiting blessing.thearkchurch.com.
John McCain was a presidential candidate who was also a Vietnam vet. He was shot down and spent 5 years in the Hanoi Hilton, a prisoner of war camp. In those 5 years, he was beaten frequently. They broke his legs. They broke his arms. He really went through a lot of physical problems. But he said the worst thing he went through was for 2 years they kept him isolated all by himself in a cell. And the isolation, he said, was worse than any of the physical things that he ever dealt with. He said, there's nothing like isolation that will absolutely weaken you and weaken your resistance. It just breaks your spirit, he said. They've done studies on aviators that have been shot down, and they've done studies of people who have been in prisoner war camps who have been isolated. And what they found is that the neurological patterns of being isolated are the very same as being beaten. So it's almost like physical trauma. And we were not made to be separate. We were made to be connected. This morning, I'm going to be talking about the power of connection, and we're looking at that in context of the story of Samson. We've been doing lessons from a fallen hero. We will conclude that this morning as we talk about Samson and his life. Now, remember, Samson was the guy who had a wonderful start. His parents could not have children, but when God stepped on the scene, then they could have children, which I always love. This is the way it was. God steps in, but this is the way it's going to be. And so his parents were able to have kids. They only had one. It was Samson. And as he grew up, he had a wonderful start. He was separated to God. He was a Nazarite from his birth, which means couldn't eat certain things, couldn't touch certain things, and his hair was never cut. And as he grew, God began to use him mightily, began to move on him. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he could do great physical strength. He killed a lion like he would tear a young goat. He killed 1,000 men. He moved the bars and gates of a city. He just incredible strength, but it wasn't physical strength. It was spirit-empowered strength. And so he was very uniquely gifted, and he had some priorities that were way out of whack. His values were way off. And Samson liked the ladies. And he always got connected with the wrong ladies. And he finally met one who did him in. Her name was Delilah. You know, you notice there's not a lot of biblical names. People give their children biblical names. Delilah's not usually in there. And Delilah, everyone says she's a Philistine. Personally, I believe that she was a Jewish girl because she's from the Jewish tribes, and usually the Bible tells us if she's a Philistine. But I think she was a Jewish girl. She was the original gold digger, because when they came to Samson, I mean, they came to Delilah, they said, Delilah, if you will tell us how to capture Samson, we will give you lottery money. And she, 1,100 pieces of silver each, she has a lot of money. And Delilah took him up on it. And so Samson met his match. And this morning we're going to finish the story, because he had a great start, he had a bad middle, but he had a good ending, sort of. As we talk about that, we understand that there is power in connection. Connection is a state of being connected. That means being joined, being linked together, being closely associated, when someone is connected. And I think of, in our digital age, how vital it is now to be connected. Years ago, when we started the Ark 20 years ago, the internet was just starting to really take off, and I remember dial-up. Anybody remember dial-up? And remember that noise it used to make when it was connecting, and you're like that pinging noise. And I realize probably depending on where some of you are, there's still dial-up in certain areas. I think on the other side of cut and shoot, there's dial-up. But it was a connection. You would listen for the connection. Years ago, before people text, they actually talked on the phone. And Verizon had a very famous slogan, "Can you hear me now?" So people, we live in a realm where we want to be connected. And what we're having to now navigate is the waters of social media, and what kind of connection does that bring us? The average Facebook user out there has 150 Facebook friends. If you have more, don't feel proud. If you have less, don't feel bad. But that's the average user. Here's something interesting. They did polls, and they said, of those 150 friends, how many of them would be there for you in the middle of a crisis? And the number was a whopping 4. So you could have a bunch of people, 150 friends, and they're saying only 4 would really be there. And so we're really having to work through, just because I'm online, does that mean I'm connected? Just because I'm having conversations, does that mean I'm connected? Just because I showed my 2-year-old's mega birthday party, does that mean I'm connected? And we're having to work through that, navigate that. How do we handle that? People still want, here's what we're finding out, people still need face-to-face connections. Because people have been trying to connect for years. An Irishman walked into a bar in Houston, and he ordered 3 beers. The guy said, you want me to space it out? He said, oh no, I want them 3, boom, boom, boom. So the bartender put 3 beers in front of him, he drank them, paid them, and walked out. Every week he would come in about the same time. You order 3 beers, same thing. Always wanted them right there lined up. Finally, the bartender said, man, you gotta help me out here. Usually most people on draft beers wait till they want it fresh, but you order 3 at the same time. Why do you do that? Irishman smiled, he said, growing up, he said, I have 2 brothers and we're very, very close. He said, right now, one is in Dublin, one's in New York City, and I'm in Houston. So every time we go to a bar, which is frequently, every time we go to a bar, he said, all of us order 3 beers, one for ourselves and one for our 2 brothers. It's kind of a way we stay connected. And the bartender said, oh, that's a cool story. So for months, this guy would come in and order the 3. One day he came in and ordered 2. The bartender looked at him kind of funny, and he put 2 beers across the table. Then finally he came back to him. He said, man, I'm sorry for your loss. And the Irishman said, what? He said, the 2, I'm assuming one of your brothers died. He said, oh, no, no, no. He said, my wife had us join the Baptist church, and I had to stop drinking. He said, but it hasn't affected my brothers, though. Don't you dare walk out of here and not be the only thing you remember about this sermon. We need connections, and we're looking for connections. I think that's one of the biggest values, one of the biggest values of our groups or our service teams. If you're serving here at the Ark or you're one of our groups, is the value of church connections. It gives you something face-to-face with believers, and that makes a lot of difference in your life. But the most important connection you can have is a spiritual connection. And that spiritual connection with God is so valuable. People don't talk about it much, but that's the biggest thing we've got. Look what it says here in Ephesians. In those days you were living apart from Christ. You're excluded. He's talking to people who were Gentiles, not Jewish. You're excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises that God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope, but now you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. It's writing to people that had no covenant with God. This was really writing to us. He said, you were without God and without hope. Without God is still the situation so many people are in. If there is no God, then there really is no positive expectation of the future. You don't know, but if you have Him, you have hope. And being united with Jesus, when you made Jesus your Lord, you didn't just get heaven when you die. You have united with Him. You're connected with Him. And that was done not because you were so good, it's because He was so good, and He did it through His blood. He paid for the connection. We just simply have to maintain it. It's like getting free Wi-Fi. It's paid for, but you have to connect yourself. So as we see that, and we see the power of connections, let's look at it in the life of Samson. Because what we see with Samson this morning is Samson gets unplugged. You see, with Delilah was slick. She had all that money waiting for her. So Delilah was trying to figure out why Samson was so strong. And so she kept asking Samson, why are you so strong? So he messed with her a couple of times. And he lied to her and said, well, if you tie me with new rope. And she'd tie him up. And then she'd say, Samson, the Philistines are on you. And Samson would get up, break the ropes, clean house with the Philistines. Well, this happened 3 times. You would think, Samson would think, oh, this is a bad woman. But Samson's all locked in. Love is real blind. And he's in love with Delilah. So finally, after the 3rd time, Delilah said, you have mocked me. And she's just whining and pouting. And the Bible says she tormented him with her nagging till she just flat wore the boy out. And he finally goes, okay. He said, if they cut my hair, I've been a Nazarite to God from the beginning. Samson goes to sleep, and Delilah has a guy come in and shaves him bald. And then here's what happens. She called Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from sleep, and he thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They sent him to grinding grain in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Samson gets disconnected from the power source. Samson, his connection with God is what gave him that strength, that Holy Spirit strength. And listen, when it said that the Lord left him, it didn't mean that God had forsaken him. It means the anointing of God lifted off his life. And so when he woke up, he didn't realize that. He thought, I'm going to go out and do just like I've always done. But he didn't realize that God's anointing on his life was gone. And they took Samson and they gouged. One translation said they gouged out his eyes. And then they put bronze chains on him and they put him in a grinding house. Most pictures we have of grinding houses, he's pushing or either on his back like a slave, like an animal. He's going round and round in circles all day long. And he's grinding grain. He can't see. He's not free. And his life has literally become a grind. It's just the grinding, the monotonous, day after day. And you would think, wow, what a horrible ending to Samson. But the Bible tells us something. It's a very interesting statement. It said, but the hair on his head began to grow again. The hair on his head began to grow. Maybe Samson is walking around one day and all of a sudden he feels a tickle on his ears. He's like, oh, my hair's starting to grow. Maybe it began to grow down on his back like a mullet. And, you know, he's got long hair. And he's like, I feel my hair starting to grow again. You say, well, great, his hair is growing again. You have to understand his hair was a connection with God. That's how he connected. And so I imagine with Samson, he began to think, whoa, wait a minute, I can still be connected to God. I remember when I was, and when I was, God did some amazing things. Hey, maybe God hasn't given up on me. Hey, a spark of hope came. Let me tell you something this morning. This is a Rogaine sermon. This is a hair-growing sermon. Because if you feel like I'm so far away from God that he just has forgotten about me. This is Grow Some Hair Day today, because we're going to find out that God has not forgotten you. And if you won't give up on him, he's never given up on you. And Samson is growing hair. Something sparked in Samson. Well, they decided to bring Samson out. The Philistines did. Had a big Super Bowl party. And they said, hey, let's bring Samson out and make fun of him because our God Dagon delivered him to us. And so they brought Samson out, and Samson had to perform for him. I don't know what he's doing, but they're mocking him. And they're in this huge temple, and there's like 3,000 people on the roof, and there's more people out there. And so we see what happens next with Samson. Samson said to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them. Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there. And on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. And Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me, please. God, strengthen me just once more. And let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson reached out toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one, left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might. And it came down to the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. And thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. He finished strong. Now what's interesting about Samson is this. Is the Bible mentions Samson. And the Bible mentions him in Hebrews, but it doesn't talk about his mistakes. It talked about him being an example of faith. He said out of Hebrews chapter 11, he said, out of weakness were made strong. Samson, as his hair began to grow again, he began to realize, God, you can do something with me. That prison doesn't have to be my final chapter. And Samson, he positioned himself to win. He said, show me where those pillars are. He's blind, so he had to be led there. And now he's got his hands on the pillars. And he prayed, said, God, just once. That's all I ask. And then he began to push with it all his might. And the wall and the whole temple came down. Thousands of Philistines died. Samson was an example of faith, because even though he had come down to such a low place at the very end of his life, it turned out to be a great victory. Maybe that's not the way you want to go out, but it sure beats grinding in the prison. How does this relate to us? What lessons can we learn from Samson? Here's one of the most important ones we learn, that being disconnected from God is the weakest place we'll ever be spiritually, but being connected to Him is the most powerful. Is when we're disconnected from the Lord, is when we're away from Him, oftentimes we become more subject to bondage. We become more subject to blindness, no vision. And we're more subject to boredom, where literally life becomes a grind because you've just simply lost a sense of purpose. But when you're connected to Him, is strength. Connecting to God is strength. And I realize I'm talking to some people in here today, and he's like, I've never left the Lord. I still have a relationship with Him, and that's good. That's wonderful. But maybe you've disconnected from His plan for your life or His dream for you. And maybe at one time you really thought, boy, God, there's a purpose I have in God. But life happens and difficulties happen, and you've disconnected from that. Maybe at one time you just had a real sense of vision for what God wanted to do in your life, but it didn't happen like you'd like, and you disconnected from that. But I'm here to tell you, your hair can grow again, because God's mercy is greater than your mess up. I don't care how much you've messed up. God's mercy is better. You say, how do I know that, Alan? Let's look at a verse in Lamentations, one of those areas in the Bible that the pages get stuck together, but it said, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. When you wake up and say, man, I messed up yesterday. Oh, it was so bad. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm just glad I'm here today, but I feel so bad. I'm sitting in church and I feel so bad. I got good news for you. God's mercies are new every morning. And so you woke up and God didn't look at you and go, I've had it to hear with you. I'm done with you. He's like, well, new mercy every morning. New mercy, like fresh donuts. They're just there every morning. Like, hey, that's good. God's mercies are new every morning. Not old and stale, fresh and hot. New mercies for you. It's like, thank God I can come out of this. You know, I love this story of Samson because I relate to the story of Samson. Not with the women thing, but I relate to it just for clarification purposes. I relate to this story because at 19, I had a relationship, a real experience with the Lord, and I came into fellowship with Him. I made Him my Lord. I was filled with the Spirit. It was a wonderful thing that happened to me. At 19, I went back to college. I had all my friends were party friends, and I had no Christian friends. I had no church, and I just gradually fell away to the place where I'm living worse than I was even before I came to Christ. It was horrible. I mean, I broke my parents' heart. When I graduated from college, I went to work for Wrangler Jeans, and they sent me to Luray, Virginia, a beautiful little city nestled in the Shenandoah Mountains. I was there for 2 weeks. No one knew who I was. And I'm like, no one knows me. I tore that town up. I partied about as hard as you could in Luray, Virginia. And it was not a moral highlight of my life. And on the way back home, I'm just after probably one of the most debauched times of my life. I'm driving in my Chrysler Reliant K car, if anybody remembers that. It had all 90 horsepower, was going full speed. And I was, I had the windows rolled down. It's a beautiful, beautiful late summer day in the mountains. And I just decided to sing. And first I'm singing with the radio. Everyone, aren't you glad they don't record us singing when, because everybody harbors this, I can sing. Well, I'm not stupid. And I told Justin, if I ever come to you and tell you I want to sing a solo, slap me in the head because somebody's gotten to me. But I'm just singing. You know, you can make a joyful noise to the Lord. And I'm just riding down, but I'm not singing to the Lord. I'm singing all kinds of songs. And for some reason, I decided to sing Amazing Grace. I knew the song growing up. And I'm singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost and now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. As I began to sing that song, the Spirit of God came in that Reliant K car and filled that Reliant K car, and I begin to weep, and hair began to grow again because I realized God had not given up on me, that God had not forgotten me, that His mercies were new every morning. Within 2 months, I am right back with God. Hair began to grow because I realized, and listen, parents, people who are praying for loved ones, you think they're so far away from God, they're looking like they're going nowhere near Him. One touch from Him can absolutely change their life. His mercies are new every morning. Just stay in there. And you just keep believing. There's a great strategy for how you return to God. We don't see it in Samson, but here's just a strategy that'll help you. If you've messed up and if you've been in a bad place, listen, first thing you do is own it. Take responsibility for it. Don't blame everybody else. Don't say, well, they made me do it or they did it or it's because of them. Just say, Lord, I did not do my part. And then be willing simply to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I'm sorry. That's repentance. And then return to Him with all your heart. Make a turn. If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And if you'll do that, if you'll come close to God, He'll come close to you. Steve Brown is a pastor. Joy actually knew him down in Florida. And he wrote a story about a situation he had with a lady. He said this lady in his church had come to him, and after a lot of talk and prayer, she had finally confessed that 20 years prior, she'd been unfaithful to her husband. She'd never told her husband, and for 20 years, she carried that guilt around with her. Steve prayed with her. They prayed. They talked a lot. And finally, Steve said, I'm going to recommend that you tell your husband. He said, I don't always do that. But he looked at this lady and said, I'm going to recommend that you tell your husband. He knew the husband. And she looked at him. She said, Pastor, I'm going to do this because I trust you. But I tell you this, if my marriage falls apart because of this, she said, I hold you responsible. And Steve said, she wasn't smiling when she said it. She left his office and he put his head down on the desk and he prayed. He said, oh God. He said, he always prays good when he's scared. He said, oh God. He said, help me. He said, if I've given this lady the wrong counsel, please, Lord, help me clean up my mess. He saw her the next day. She looked 15 years younger. He said, what happened? She said, I told my husband and he told me he knew about it 20 years ago and had already forgiven me and just wanted to tell me how much he loved me. She was carrying that guilt around for 20 years. How many of you are carrying around stuff that God's already forgiven you for? All you got to do is walk to Him and say, Father, I am so sorry, and receive your forgiveness. His mercies are new every morning. And if you've been away from God, you can grow some hair today. You realize, I can get back with God. I can have a relationship with Him. Third lesson, third takeaway is once you're connected, you can start to believe God again. Don't be afraid to pray. I like how it says Samson, he positioned himself, he prayed, and he pushed. I think that's a great little metaphor of our faith life. We don't position ourselves between pillars, but we position ourselves with the promises of God. We find God's promises, then we pray and ask God to do what we can't do ourselves. And then we push. We do what we can do. I show you how that worked in my life. When Joy and I started our church in North Carolina a long time ago, and it didn't work for a year and a half. I stayed there, and it was just hard. It was so hard because we didn't know what we were doing. We just didn't know what the future was. We just felt so blinded, and it's so frustrating. And I remember I was just begging God and crying out to God and show me God and why God. And finally, I was reading one morning in the book of James. It said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach. In other words, He won't make fun of you. And it will be given to him, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. I read that and I went, I haven't done this. So I bowed my head and I said, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need to know what to do. And then I said, and you said you would give it to me. So what am I doing? I'm putting my hands on the promises. I'm saying, Lord, you said you would give me wisdom if I ask you for it. So I'm praying, asking God to do what I couldn't do. But He said, when that was over, what's my part? How do I push? Faith without works is dead. What do I begin to do? Well, when it comes to wisdom, since I don't know what to do, here's what I begin to do. Thank you, Lord, for wisdom. I say, Alan, you didn't have it yet. That's why you got to believe it. Yes, thank you, Lord, for wisdom. I go to work. I get a phone call. Guy calls me up. He said, Alan, I've been thinking about you, man. What are you going to do? I was just about to say, I don't know. And I thought, no, here's where the push comes in. Here's where the push comes in. I said, I prayed and I asked God for wisdom. I believe the Lord's going to show us what to do. He's a Christian brother. I thought he would go, hallelujah, brother. He went, He wasn't excited. I was excited because I believed God was going to give us an answer. We went to church, and they brought a special speaker down, and the pastor said, this couple's been here, and they don't even know why they're here. Do you have a word for them? She said, no, I don't. Why are y'all here? We were about to go, and we thought, no, God is going to show us what to do. And so that was that easy? No, that was our push part, but that was our part. And sitting in that same church, a speaker was speaking one day, and it was actually in the evening, and he said something, and I went, I said, I got it. We're going back to Texas. I knew exactly in my heart what we were supposed to do. We were supposed to return. And we rejoiced, and that return led to us being connected now, because that return helped get us back on track. God's good. His promises are good. And if you hold on to His promises and trust Him to do what only He can do, you just do your part, and He will come through for you. He will help you. Samson wound up in the hall of faith, the hall of fame of faith, Hebrews chapter 11. You're like, well, I'm not going to wind up there. You can make a good start. You can find out where you are with God. But once you're connected with Him, that's where miracles happen. That's where good things happen. That's where you can pray and realize, God, You'll use me. This morning, I hope hair is starting to sprout on some of you. And you're realizing, I can come back to God. I can have a place with God. I can have a life with God. I can grab a hold of God's promises. I can learn from Samson what he did wrong and what he did right. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and please, no one moving or looking around will be out of here in just a moment. But if you came today and said, Alan, I've been away from God. I understand that. I'm away from Him. I know that. Or maybe you're saying, I've never made that decision that I know of, but I want to. We're going to say a prayer, and sitting right in your chair this morning, we're not going to have you come to the front or stand up, but sitting in your chair, this is a powerful prayer. And this is one of those connecting prayers. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If that's you I'm talking to, and you're like, Alan, would you pray for me? We're going to do that. Would you slip up your hand? We're not going to have you stand up. We're not going to embarrass you. But you're just acknowledging that this morning, saying, yes, Alan, I want to come to the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Yeah, I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It takes courage to do that. It takes faith to do that. But if you'll do that, we're going to pray a prayer that changes everything. Anybody else this morning, say, Alan, that's me. Great. Thanks. You can put your hands down. Maybe you wanted to lift your hand. You're like, oh, no, I missed my opportunity. No, no. You can pray this prayer from your heart. God hears heartfelt prayers. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to pray this together out loud. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Now, Father's heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I pray for those who prayed that prayer this morning. Thank You for those who have come back into fellowship. Thank You, Father, for those who've stepped out of darkness back into the light. Lord, thank You for what You're doing and for all of us. Father, I thank You that You can rekindle the hope, rekindle the purpose, rekindle the vision as we stay connected to You. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. And we give You all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about The Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.